take your Bible and turn to the book of John, John chapter 9. I know this is the Christmas season, and usually we speak about the Christmas theme and those things like that, but my intent is not just to look at Christ on the cradle, but Christ heading to the cross and the lives that he impacted. And so just bear with me and recognize there's some great things we can learn as Christ makes his journey to the cross that he affected many people in his life, and even today still does that. So notice John chapter 9 verse 1 says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation is sent. And he went his way thereof, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors thereof, therefore, and they which had before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he which sat and begged? Some said, This is he, but others said, He is like him, but he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight." Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord, for this great time, this great season of Christmas and the birth of Christ. But Lord, help us never to lose sight of where that ends. On the cross, dying for our sins and our iniquities, saving us for all eternity. And Lord, thank you also, not just for that, but also the time between the cradle and the cross and those lives that Jesus touched and affected. And Lord, I pray that we'd see that today and how Jesus cares for us in our times of blindness. And so, Lord, today, open our eyes, let us see you, turn our hearts away from ourselves, and turn completely to you, Lord, that we may simply do your will. Thank you for your promise, Lord, that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Well, I mentioned this idea about the cross coming up, and we focus on the cradle during this time of the year. But it's important to see and recognize that while that is important, and even the angels in Luke chapter 2 did celebrate and gave praise that Christ was born, we need to see the cross, and we need to see the journey there. We need to see how it impacted people, and then see how it impacts us in a great, great way. I want you to recognize there's an invitation for all of us that when we come in contact with Christ, that we too can have an abundant life. I love what chapter 10 says about this one called Jesus. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have life more abundantly. So hopefully this morning you'll see that in your life and recognize some of these things in John chapter 9 and apply them to our lives. The first thing I'd like for you to see, there's the perception of the church, the perception of the church. Again, it is important to recognize that Jesus saw people and met people where they were. And he was always on the move, as we'll speak about here in a few minutes. But just notice as he did, there were some things that took place in this chapter that we need to see. One, there's the curiosity about the sinner, the curiosity about the sinner. Again, verse 1 says, "And Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from his birth." And so as he passes by and doing the things that God called him to do, matter of fact, we find that he's going from town to town to town in Mark chapter 1. They're going to see people where they are, and they see this blind man. And so we're going to find a question: who made this man as he is? Was it his sin or the sin of his parents? They notice some things about this guy. Notice first, there's going to be the calamity. They recognize that he was blind from birth. And so that brought in a lot of questions of why this took place and what kind of man this was. Can you imagine being blind in those days? We recognize quickly that in those days, if you had a sense of blindness, many people thought it was kind of like leprosy, that you were a sinful man. Matter of fact, that goes all the way back to Genesis 19 when Lot and in the city of Gomorrah and how the angels were there with him, and those men that tried to come into the house were stricken with blindness. And so it was a picture of sin and punishment being placed on them. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 28, it says, "The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart." And so when people saw blind people, they thought in their minds, maybe this is a sinful person. And so we recognize today that's not really the case. But we know in those days it was a time when it was not good. And then it brought on the calamity of what you could do with your blindness. And that was basically nothing but sit on the side and beg. And so this man was an outcast from society with little value except maybe to his parents. And so his life was reduced to simply being on the side of the road begging for alms. We think we have problems today, but we live in a society that does value life. Thank the Lord we recognize today about what true life really means. And so we find there is a sense of calamity in this man, but also we need to really see the callousness of the disciples. And again, verse 2 says, and the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? No thoughts to how can we help this man. No thoughts or suggestions to, hey, maybe we'll bring this man to Jesus. They just said, who sinned? Can I remind you, as a church, we need to be careful and not looking at others with disdain or a judgmental attitude about what is going on in their life. It is easy to make assumptions about others without knowing the whole story. So let me just encourage you. Maybe you're here today facing calamities. Maybe you're here today having difficult times. We want to embrace you and help you and encourage you to point you to Jesus. We don't want to just say, what did you do wrong? We want to show you the one that always does right. It is easy to ask the question, why? Why this is happening to me? And so we go through trials and troubles and situations that are hard to deal with. But I'm here to tell you that even through your trials and troubles, you can trust in the one called Christ Jesus. I like what Jesus said that reminds us of what we're going through. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so they see this man. Yes, they were curious, but they did not do anything about it. But now notice the second part, not just the curiosity about the sinner, but the correction of the Savior, the correction by the Savior. Verse 3 says, and Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Notice what he is not saying. He is not saying this man never sinned, nor his parents never sinned, but basically saying that what he has done did not cause his present situation. We know that all people have sinned. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, in Romans chapter 3. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He was just simply saying his present problems were not the results of a previous action. Now, sometimes we clearly see that may be the case. Sometimes in our life, we may be disciplined by the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 through 8 speaks about the Lord's chastisement on those that do wrong. We understand that. Sometimes it's a development process in our lives. Sometimes God allows things to happen in our life that may grow us in our needs. I like the path that God puts us on. And we find there's a hope in every situation. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so we understand that sometimes we just have troubles, but those troubles can bring us and build us closer to the Lord. I'm reminded of a story told about Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby was a girl born blind, but she was one that loved the Lord. And matter of fact, she wrote many songs that we find in our hymnal today. And when she was only 8 years old, she wrote this little rhyme about her life. Remember, she's blind. She said, oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I'm resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. And so we find sometimes in our troubles and trials that we can see the Lord, we can grow closer to him, and God builds us more through our hurts than he does our helps. Not too long ago, I had a man came and gave me a testimony about his family. His father was in the hospital with cancer, and it was not looking good. And through the process, which I won't go all into, that father, which did not know the Lord, in that time of need, came to know who Christ was and gave his life to the Lord. And so I'm reminded that sometimes in our hurts, in our trials, it simply opens our eyes and points our life to Jesus. There's also a third thing, that we may have things around us just beat us down. I'm reminded of Job. Job lost 10 children and 11,000 animals in one day. I know the demonic oppression is out there, but just know this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We can trust Christ Jesus. And so don't focus on the calamity so much. Focus on the one that can give the cure. They should have done that, but they're simply focusing on the things that were bad, but not Christ Jesus. Christ focused on things that could redeem. Christ focused on not the sin, but the sinner. How good that is. So here's a blind man sitting on the side of the road, begging for food and money, asking whatever he can from others. Everyone passing them by with disdain, but not Jesus. Can I remind you today again, if you're here, and if you're out of sorts, if you're down and out, there is one that is willing and ready to help if you'll simply look to him. And so we find there's the perception of the church. But secondly, there is the procedure of Christ, the procedure of Christ. This is where we see Jesus in action. And this is where we want Christ in our life. So again, notice first, the meeting with Christ, the meeting with Christ. Again, verse 4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. The work of Christ was to help others. Matter of fact, he said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus' life will intersect the lives with many people, even people like this man that the society said was valueless, that had no real true value. Just know this, meeting was not an accident. As Christ will meet with you, it will not be an accident. And so here's the good news this morning, that you are here to hear the gospel. You are here to intersect your life with Christ Jesus. And so it is good to understand how Christ goes and meets people. But here's the thing too also, that he just doesn't meet people in the building here, but also in their everyday life. And so the church should do the same. We get a great picture of Christ doing this all through the book of John. Matter of fact, if you get past John chapter 1, which Christ made all things, we find that he interacts with people. In John chapter 2, he's at a wedding and he interacts with his mother about turning the water to wine to save embarrassment for the host there. And so you wouldn't think it was a big deal, but Christ did. And then we find him talking with some spiritual giants like Nicodemus. He was willing to talk to the most upper religious people of the society. And then we find in John chapter 4 that he's speaking with this woman at the well, this woman that had five husbands and was living with another man now. And so she was the lowest of the low. And then we find in John chapter 5 the healing at Bethsaida there. There was a lame man that was another outcast. And then John chapter 6, he's feeding the 5,000 multitudes, willing not just to go to the single person, but to the crowds to share the good news. He's teaching in the temple in chapter 7. And then chapter 8, he intercedes for a woman caught in the very act of adultery. Christ Jesus saw the needs of people and willing to interact with them. And then here in chapter 9, this blind man that has no value, Christ sees him as valuable and willing to simply involve himself. He made contact with people, so many people, that he changed those around him. And let me tell you what, the church should do the same today. The church is in call to reach out to those in this outside world. Matter of fact, I like what the Apostle Paul said. He made his life story that same thing. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet I've made myself a servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And to the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that were without the law, as without the law, being not without the law of God, but under the law of Christ. That I may gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became the weak, that I may gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that by all means may save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Paul was simply saying, I want to interact with everybody, no matter their social class, no matter their needs, no matter what, if they're high or low, I want to be sharing the gospel with them. And I wonder when we commit ourselves this Christmas, when it's the easiest to share Christ, will we interact with others as Jesus did? Will we meet with others and tell them the good news? He did that. So there's the meeting with Christ, but secondly, there is the mending by Christ. Again, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of spittle, anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Look what he does. He sees this guy and then does something very unusual. He spits on the ground. Now, you're probably thinking, well, what in the world is he doing? Well, he's doing what Jesus would do. He's doing unusual things. That may be kind of a rude gesture in your eyes, but the Lord has a great thing to do with this. You may again say, why would Jesus do that? Well, one, it shows his power. He is able to heal in so many ways, and he is not limited by circumstances that he finds himself in. John chapter 5 says this, verse 36, but I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. All that saying is Jesus saying, hey, I'm going to show you my power in different ways. And so it's interesting that he does this by spitting on the ground. You know, you look back in the Gospels and Jesus heals several blind people. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And when Jesus departed, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he's coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, believe that I am able to do this. They said, yes. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done. And their eyes were open. So in Matthew chapter 9, he just touched them, and they began to see. In Mark chapter 8, verse 22 says, he comes to Bethsaida, and they bring him a blind man and besought to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put hands upon his eyes, made them look, and he was restored and saw clearly every man. And so in Mark chapter 8, he spits on the man's eyes. Kind of odd. And then in Luke chapter 18, verse 40, Jesus stood, commanded him to be brought in him, another blind man. And when he was coming near, he asked him, saying, what would thou that I should do in thee? And he said, Lord, I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And he just speaks into that. And so you look at this passage, he heals people in different ways, but the result is the same. Now, I tell you that because we need to be careful about being dogmatic. And I think you've heard me say this before, teaching through this, that sometimes we get caught up in the actions rather than the act itself. Sometimes we get focused on the wrong things. Matter of fact, there could be religious groups that focus on this. Some may say, well, we're going to focus on when Jesus put the mud in his eyes. Maybe another religious group says, we're going to focus on the spitting in the eyes, or the other ones focus on the touching of the eyes, or the ones speaking about speaking to Jesus. And so like the joke goes, some thought they would be Muddites or Spittites or Touchites or Speakites. And so don't focus so much on what he did, but why he did it. Jesus at the right time makes clay, rubs it into this man's eyes and says, go wash. Again, verse 7 says, and he said to them, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation is sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now, you ask yourself again, all these different ways, why did this man need to have the mud smeared in his eyes? Maybe it's based not on just Jesus' power, but the position of man. Maybe he needs some help in his faith. Maybe he needed something that he could feel and recognize he needed to do. Whatever the reason, the man leaves, goes and follows the commands of Christ, comes back, and is recovered. You know, salvation is much like that. Jesus does all the work. There is nothing you can add to your salvation except put Jesus on the cross. Your sins, my sins, put in there. That's all we add to it. And yet Jesus calls us to be responsible with one thing, and that is to believe. Oh, my friends today, recognize that Christ wants you to join him by belief. It is amazing what happens when this man simply obeys the call of Christ. Can you see the change in this man? Can you see the difference? Can you see how he reacts and deals with others for the first time? He is now, for the first time, sees his parents. He sees the house that he lives in. He sees his family. Man, what a great difference it will be in his life. Can I tell you again what John 10:10 says? The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have life more abundantly. Can I tell you today, Christ sees you where you are. He sees your value. He sees your hurts. He sees you, and he desires for you to join him that you too may have that abundant life. He wants to do a work in your life. How do you know? Because the Bible is full of examples, and the Bible tells us that he cares for us, that he wants us to cast our care upon him, as we just learned in 1 Peter chapter 5, 7. He wants us to simply seek Him because He has been seeking us the whole time. So let me ask you before I move on, will you trust Him today? Will you simply say yes to the invitation that Christ extends? Will you simply follow Him? It starts with this idea of salvation, saying yes when God pricked your heart, and then follow Him in service, in obedience. Now, we don't serve to be saved, but because we're saved, we do serve. The Bible is clear. Well, notice the third thing. Not just the perception of the church and the procedure of Christ, but now the proclamation of the cured, the proclamation of the cured, and that's where we get involved. Jesus will do a great work in the life of this blind man, and it will be evident to others. Notice first the testimony he delivered, the testimony he delivered. This is pretty amazing. Listen to me. Not only did he see, but now the crowd will see him. Verse 8 says this. The neighbors, therefore, and they which were before had seen him, that he was blind, said, "Is this not he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." Now, let me just tell you, if Christ affects your life, if Christ saves you, if Christ gives you salvation, if Christ turns your life around, it will be visible to others. It will be evidence. There is this idea about the fruits of the Spirit living in you. And so your testimony, your change, it must be visible. It is visible to all those around us. Somebody called this the unspoken testimony. And that's true. I'm reminded that we should have a testimony, and it should be visible in our lives. It should be something that should get the attention of others. If you read again verse 8, the neighbors, therefore, when they had before seen him, they understood. And so our testimony is a idea of being obedient. There is always a change. Let me say that again. There is always a change. Now, it should start small. I'm just going to tell you, as a newborn baby in Christ, but it should grow. I know others have had radical changes, and it's great big to begin with. But whatever your change is, it should be there, and it should be evident to others. But not just a visible, unspoken testimony, but your life must also have a voice. Your testimony must be told. Again, verse 8 and 9. The neighbors, therefore, when they had before seen him that was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." Notice this. But he said, "I am he. I'm the guy. I'm the guy that sat by the road, and something's happened to me." A spoken testimony. Years ago, this is hundreds and hundreds of years ago, St. Francis of Assisi said this. He said, "Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." Let me say that again. He said, "Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." Now, that sounds wonderful and great, and there's some truth to that. The only problem is, it's not biblical. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our testimony must not just be in our visible actions, but our voice should proclaim why this has happened unto me. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord your God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Be ready to give an answer. In other words, be ready to tell others, to share. If they just see that you are a good person, that's great, but they need to know why. What makes you different? What has changed your life? They need to hear that Jesus changed me, and Jesus can change you. They need to hear it with your voice. So notice what he says. Verse 10. "Therefore they said unto him, how were your eyes opened?" Verse 11. "He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said to me, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And I washed, and I went and washed, and received sight." In other words, he said, Jesus did this. He told me to do this. I went, did it, came back, and now I can see. Now, if we ended the story there, man, how good it would be. Everyone would be rejoicing. But let me just tell you the truth. That's not how it works in this story, and it's not how it works in our story. When the Lord does something for you, you can just be assured that you will have troubles and trials after that. But be of good cheer. I've already said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So we go from the testimony he delivered now to the troubles he encountered. The troubles he encountered. The man goes, returns, he is seizing, he's sounding off the good gifts of what God has done for him. And now what happens? There's the persecution of the crowd. Verse 13 says, they brought the Pharisees unto him aforetime that was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay open his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him, hey, received his sight? And they said unto him, he put clay in my eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said this, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Let me just tell you this. There's going to be troubles in your life. When you live for Christ, I don't care, there's going to be others that come against you. These guys were religious, and they thought they knew all things, and they were putting down Jesus because he had made clay on the Sabbath. The Bible speaks about people like that, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. We find that in 2 Timothy 3:5. These men were religious, but yet they were full of ridicule. They were full of ridicule. They were asking, who did this? And why would a man do something breaking the Sabbath? And so we can get the idea that we can separate righteous from religious. And we need to understand that God is calling us to live the life. And we will have people that come against us. Even his parents are going to reject this idea of what he was doing. But hang on, don't be troubled. The Lord has this. And so we go from the testimony to the troubles to the triumph he experienced. So we begin to understand that now Christ has healed this guy. And so they're asking, well, what do you think about him? And verse 17 said this. They said to the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. If you read on to verse 24 and 25, they're ridiculing him again. He said this. Then again they called the man that was blind and said, give God praise. We know this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I do know, whereas I was blind, but now I see. So let me just encourage you to see this guy. That through his trials and through his troubles and through his situations, he never backed down. He simply focused on what Christ did for him. And in your testimony today, in your life, nobody can dispute what Christ has done for you. Why not be willing to simply share that with others? Why not be willing to stand up for the Lord and just simply say, here's what God has done, and Christ changed my life. Can I make you a promise that when you trust Christ, he will change things in your life? He will do one of two things. He will change the situation for the saint, or he will change the saint to deal with the situation. Let me say that again. He will either change the situation for the saint, or he will change the saint to deal with the situation. And so, for us, wherever we find ourselves, if we seek the Lord, if Christ is with us, he will work those things out for good. He has made us a promise, and we ought to simply follow him no matter what happens around us. I like the songwriter when he said this, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. This grace that brought me safe this far, and a grace that will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. And when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Can I tell you, God gives us an invitation. He is walking by. He desires for us to understand him and receive him, that we too may have our eyes open, that we too may have an abundant life. I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a moment, close your eyes, and think about your life. Maybe you're here today, and you're thinking, my life is not worth much, but I'm telling you, Christ sees it differently. And Christ wants you to see him differently as the one that can change all things. If you're here today and missing something, I can tell you what it is. It is the Lord Jesus. Let him in as he knocks on the door of your heart. Let him in and simply follow him by faith and see what he does. If you've never done that, why not make that public this morning? Why not simply walk down that aisle when we begin to sing and say, I have accepted Christ, what's next? Secondly, maybe you've done that. You have believed, you have trusted, but never made it public, like little Emmy this morning, making a public declaration of faith by baptism. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. Why not come forward? We can do it now or later. Maybe it's a time of prayer at this altar. Maybe it's a time of recommitment. Maybe it's you committing to the fact that others need Jesus, and you need to see them as Jesus sees them. Whatever it is this morning, don't miss the invitation to let the Lord change your heart so that your heart looks more like Him every single day. The Lord's calling. I wonder, will we respond? Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word that gives us hope and peace and direction. We thank You, O Lord, for all that You do for us. Thank You, Lord, for the story of the blind man and how he was made to see. Lord, I pray that we too would have our eyes open, that we may see You completely and simply follow after You. Help us now in the time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.